Welcome to Wine and Spines, the podcast where we uncork great books and read great wines. As you all know, my lovely co-host Ryan has had to take a small break. So today I have my lovely book club friend Ashley here to join me.
Hi, friends.
Oh, we're so excited. So today we are going to be talking to Ashley about her book club pick, Outfoxed by Sandra Brown. This is not our first time reading Sandra Brown for book club. I know I've picked her book before, and I am also a big fan of Sandra Brown. And so her writing style is defined by her mastery of romantic suspense, a blend of fast-paced, twisting plots with emotionally intense character relationships. Her narratives are known for their tightly woven plots, vividly described scenes, and compelling characters who confront moral ambiguities and hidden secrets. So, Ashley, how did you pick this book for book club? Or why?
Oh, gosh, what a loaded question. So, historically, with book club picks, I've always chosen books I haven't read before.
Do you really?
Yes, and this is... Spoiler, it hasn't gone well.
And so I can't do that.
I know. So this time I said, you know what? I'm going to pick a tried and true, something I know that I love, something that I think is going to be a people pleaser. And we went with my girl, Sandra Brown. So as we've talked about this before in our book club circle, people know Sandra Brown is my favorite. If I was a Make-A-Wish child, she would be my Make-A-Wish for the day. I would want to meet Sandra Brown. I'd want us to write a little short story together, character development plot, and that would be my Make-A-Wish.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I feel like every time we talk about your Make-A-Wish, it gets a little bit more detailed.
Oh, I want to meet Sandra Brown so bad.
We're going to make that happen someday. I promise. Okay, so you're saying that you've already read this book before book club. So what made you choose it for book club?
Is this where we do spoilers? I feel like I don't want to say the spoilers so soon in the episode.
Or should I? For spoilers, if you haven't read this book, read it and come back.
Okay. So I own almost every Sandra Brown book. I'm still, I think, waiting on one book, Breath of Scandal, that I haven't found at Goodwill or a used bookstore. And I looked on Amazon. It's like $80. So
what?
I know. So I really do... probably should email Sandy.
Yeah. And hi, Sandy. I'm your biggest fan. Please send this to me.
So I've read, own all the Sandra Brown books. And I like them all. So this one I chose because reading, we talked about this, reading the book sleeve, you know, the author synopsis, a book's coming out. Here's their, you know, 1 to 2 paragraph explanation of what the book is about. She uses very specific words that I think put the reader on a certain trajectory. She said things, we believed them, and we kept reading the book, assuming we had a reliable author. We talk a lot about reliable narrators. Is our author always reliable? And so that is why I chose the book, because we'll find out as we go along.
Oh, I like that you definitely made that not too spoilery. You're like, little breadcrumbs in there. I like that. I like that. Okay. So we've talked about our book. Now let's talk about the wine. So for this episode, Ashley brought our wine for us to enjoy. So what did you bring?
It's called Le Naturel 00. It is a de-alcoholized wine without complexes and without a drop of alcohol. A brave, fresh red, which maintains all the flavor, structure, texture, and aromas of the original Le Naturel. So it's an NA wine because I don't drink.
Interesting. You know, I tried it and you really can't tell.
Would you, right? You wouldn't be able to tell if I just brought this to your house, poured you a glass and said, here, Lauren, have this red wine. Would you think it was an NA wine or would you think it was real wine?
I would not have been able to tell the difference.
I know, it's scary, right?
It is scary. Oh my gosh. Okay, everyone. So grab a glass, settle in, and let's dive in. Outfox is about FBI agent Drex Eason, who is relentlessly driven by a single goal: to outmaneuver the con man once known as Weston Graham. Over the last 30 years, Graham has assumed many names and countless disguises. enabling him to bilk 8 wealthy women out of their fortunes before they disappeared without a trace. Their families left without answers and the authorities without a clue. The only common trait amongst the victims, a new man in their life who also vanished, only leaving behind one signature custom. Drex is convinced that these women have been murdered and that the man he knows as Weston Graham is responsible. But each time Drex gets close to catching him, Graham trades one persona for another and disappears again. Until now. Attractive and charming Jasper Ford is recently married to a successful businesswoman many years his junior, Talia Schaefer. Drex, posing as their new neighbor, insinuates himself into their lives. The closer he gets to the couple, the more convinced he becomes that Jasper is the clever, merciless Weston Graham. And yet, Drex's own attraction to Talia threatens to compromise everything he staked his career and reputation on. This is Drex's one chance to outfox his cunning nemesis before he murders again and eludes justice, possibly forever. But first, he must determine if the desirable Talia is a heartless accomplice or the next victim. So after reading that description, Ashley, that brings me to my first question. So the reason you picked this book is because when reading the synopsis, after reading the book, mm-hmm. it begged the question of, do we just believe authors mm-hmm. because they're the authors? So did you believe Sandra Brown when reading this description and going into this book?
We're going to get to the spoiler first question. I love it. Yes. When Sandra Brown called Drex Easton an FBI special agent, I believed her. Spoiler alert, he was not.
No, he was not.
So I read the entire book, one, trusting my author, and then two, also trusting our narrator who, I'm not sure he was unreliable. I wouldn't say he was unreliable. He was just a liar.
Well, I would say, okay, actually.
He knew what he was doing the whole time. He was purposely concealing it from people. We call that a con man.
A con man who was able to find a con man.
Our morally gray characters. They do bad things for the right reasons.
So, you know, this is why we like them. But yeah, I also believed her. I
didn't question it at all when she said that. I'm like, okay. And then he said it too. So I'm like, all right, you know, there are two people that are saying this thing. And we talked about this. Sandra did not have to refer to him as an FBI special agent in her book synopsis. We talked about one of your favorite books, Daisy Darker. Mm-hmm. If we read the synopsis, what the author puts out, she is very specific to never say she is alive.
She never even mentions Daisy's name specifically. Yeah. She just mentions the Darker family. Mm-hmm. And so you go into it having no idea, because if we're talking about the Darker family, Daisy's a part of that Darker family. And so I completely agree with what you're saying. And we did talk about this. We talked about this in our own book club mm-hmm. about how all she had to say is that Drex Easton is relentlessly driven mm-hmm. by a single goal. Mm-hmm. That would have made people think like, oh, is he a cop? Is he a special agent? Like what, or is he just what's the person?
A vigilante?
Yes. I'm like, what's the person who's a civilian who tries to do things?
Batman.
Or is he Batman?
Yes. She could have been very vague. And then we could have made our own wrong assumptions, like with Daisy Darker. I read that book. I wrongly assumed she was alive the whole book. The author,
spoiler for Daisy Darker.
The author never said that.
She didn't.
And so my thing with this was, I was like, Sandra, she could have just said, you know, Drex Easton is relentlessly driven by a single goal. And then as we're reading the book, we could have made some assumptions of, okay, obviously he's got, you know, some crime background. Okay, obviously he's got friends that are in police work. Okay, like we start, you know, adding up the clues. You know, you say, I see something long and yellow. You think banana. I'm saying bus. Like type of thing.
Yeah.
I thought she very easily could have done that, and she didn't. And I thought, little side tangent, I thought this was the first time my girl Sandy had ever lied to us. But I just remembered another Sandra Brown book that I read called Friction. And
don't tell us a lie. Just tell us that she lied in that
Okay, she also lied in that one.
Don't spoil that book.
Fortune by Sandra Brown, and I realize she's done it before.
Okay, okay. So we just blindly believe our authors because, you know, it's kind of like your parents tell you something is the way it is, and you're like, okay, that's the way it is. Why would we think to not believe if our girl Sandy tells us, you know, he's a FBI agent, and then Drex tells us that he's an FBI agent, why would we think he isn't?
Yeah.
And it's also crazy because looking back at the book, it's blindly believing, I feel like you ignore certain clues. Whereas like he would talk about work, but like for some reason he wasn't in the same office as his friends, but he was in the same location. And then this guy is always like, we knew, okay, so what is it, Radowski? We knew him and Drex had issues. And we knew we were going to eventually get to the story. Because although, in not all of her books does she mislead us, but she does have a very distinct pattern in her writing. We know, okay, we don't know what's going to happen, but we know we're going to know it by this point, et cetera. And so that's how I read the book. I was like, okay, like, I don't know what happened, but I know Sandy will let me know when I need to know.
Yes. So even though things look a little off, obviously I knew, you know, him and Radowski were butting heads, you know, maybe a pissing contest.
Yeah.
He'd been slapped on the wrist before. They kept mentioning something, you know, we'll remember when this happened back then. You really got in trouble. And so I knew he was not playing by the books, but that goes back to our morally gray character where I'm like, okay, very believable that he kind of had to do things a little bit on his own, you know, towing the line. And that's why him and Rutkowski didn't get along. So like, I knew there was something up. He wasn't like a straight and narrow walk the line kind of guy. So I knew something was up, but I still like full on believe he's an FBI special agent. Sandy told us, and he also told us. So,
so speaking of this big, like crazy ending, finding out that Drex, not only is he not a special agent, he is not a police officer, he is not anything, and he has been impersonating an FBI agent for years after already being arrested for doing the same thing. That little infraction, you know, that last time you messed up, that wasn't just like a slap on the wrist and like, oh, you got a suspension from your FBI job. No, 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 no. That was jail time for impersonating an FBI agent. How did you feel about that twist ending? Did you think that it helped with the book? Do you think that, I guess, like, did you like it? Did you not like it? What were your thoughts on it?
I loved it. I'm also someone that's big, talk about those morally gray characters. I'm so big on intention of what are your intentions behind doing something. You know, there are people that have positions of power that are not using it for good, but because they went through the legal channels and they got those jobs and those titles doesn't mean they're using their power for good. And then here you have Drex, who doesn't have the power, but he is still trying to do good. So in my eyes, I'm like, it's okay.
Okay. I get your point. So,
I liked it. I was like, oh, snap. I was like, look at all he got done for being just an average Joe.
Okay, I completely get your point. But when I was reading it, I was just like, part of me was like, really, Sandra? Really? Like, okay, I do love a morally gray character. They're actually typically my favorite. You know, let's be real. I read the fantasies. I want that bad boy energy, but like there to do the good while also having that bad boy energy. Like I get it. I totally do. Mm-hmm. But I think my problem with it was, is it just kind of felt so rushed at the end. Like, oh, by the way, he's not an agent. He's arrested. Talia's like, get away from me. You lied to me. And then all of a sudden Talia's like, I'm pregnant. Let's get together. I thought it was a little rushed.
Pretty typical Sandra at the end. She wraps it up real quick. There's always like some brief period of separation between the two leads.
Yeah.
Where someone needs to cool down. Someone needs to go clean up their life back home. Someone needs to go, you know, show up to court and like defend themselves for impersonating an FBI special agent. I almost liked it because at that point, here's what everyone needs to know about a Sandra Brown book. There is always a twist at the very end. I mean, within the last 5 pages of the book, there is some twist that you go, oh my gosh. That I loved it because I honestly forgot. I forgot that a twist was going to be coming because I'm like, man, like we wrapped this up. We got our guy.
Yeah.
And I literally, so I like loved it because you almost like miss it. You just slipped it in and they're handcuffing him. And she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like we saved the day. Like he's a hero. Everything's good. And they're like, man, this man's been impersonating an FBI special agent this whole time. And you just were like, whoa, that happened so quick because there really weren't a lot of indicators that he wasn't real. So like you did kind of forget about it. So it was, I think it was supposed to just be like super fast, quick, like blink and you miss it.
Okay. And I get that. And I think part of the problem was that I listened to it instead of reading it. And so to be honest, like all of this was happening. And then all of a sudden it was like, he's not even an FBI agent. And I was like, when did they handcuff him? Like, I was like, did I miss that part? Like, what do you mean? And then I got really confused. Mm-hmm. In that moment. So maybe that was why. Because I've read a few of her books, not nearly as many as you, but I have read a few of her books, and I even texted you when reading this one. I was like, ah, it feels like I'm home.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, I know it's coming. I know it's coming. I know there's going to be a twist. I did not see the twist coming. Mm-hmm. But I think I was more like expecting like the twist to be like,
you were expecting fireworks. You were expecting
Weston Graham was his father.
Like something very dramatic. And this just was so like normal.
Yeah.
Like the twist was just so normal.
And I think
normal.
That's why it took me back a little bit. I was like, wait, what?
Like, you know, it's like finding out Daisy Darker's dead. Like that's an in your face
really
twist.
Yeah.
This one's just, you know, in the last couple pages, they just handcuff him and they're like, oh yeah, he's been impersonating FBI special agent this whole time.
Oh, and also he's rich and he works in like computer stuff and he sold a company at like the age of 30 and he just works just because he wants to.
Yeah, he's like Criminal Minds.
And he's like like a doctorate.
Yeah, in criminology or something.
And I was like, okay, so this guy's really cool. where does one get a fake FBI badge that looks so real that Amazon. He's been doing it? I don't think they'll look that real.
Oh, man.
But, okay. Okay.
All right. Let's get on some real questions. But it just, that's why I picked the book. It was just, didn't see it coming. I believe Sandra. It was just the most subtle reveal at the very end. It was very believable throughout the book. Because in book club, I go, did anyone see the ending coming? Did anyone see the plot twist coming? And everyone was like, nope.
No.
Nope. Knew something was up. Knew he was kind of like a bad boy, vigilante, Batman type. But still thought he had the, you know, proper credentials.
I thought if anything, he was at least a cop. Like something. I was like, there's no way. But, I mean, clearly there was because he did have that criminology background.
I thought he had gotten thrown off the case earlier for going after the wrong guy. Kind of like made a fool of the bureau. And they were like, nope, we're bumping the case to Rutkowski now. And that's where that, like, antagonism was coming from. That was the assumption I made.
So when they said, when he quote unquote resigned and hid
from a job you don't have.
And she was like, why would you do that? And he goes, don't worry about it. It's because he didn't. He literally gave up his fake, fake federal agent badge. And then begged Rutkowski for it back. Just over to Kasky would do exactly what he wanted. I mean, I'm not kidding. How do you catch a serial killer? You get in the mind of a serial killer.
Which is what he was.
How do you catch
Dr.
a con
Drex
man?
Easton.
How do you catch a con man? You get in the... You become a con man.
Yes. So I really liked the character of Drex. I think we talked about that.
Okay, that leads me to my next question. Which characters did you find most like intriguing? Or which ones did you like the most and why?
Okay, so we talked about this at book club. In general, everyone really liked Drex.
Yes.
He was well-liked, big fan of Drex. So obviously Drax, I really liked him. And I think that was also, the book was, majority of it was from his perspective. So I think we like got to know him as a character more.
Yes.
Whereas Talia, and I hate saying this, because Sandra writes, she writes some strong female leads. A lot of them are their own business owners or their lawyers.
Well, she is.
Yes, like they have profound careers. They do well from themselves. They're homeowners, you know, like they got their lives together. I thought Talia was like kind of a wet blanket. And they also normally play a much more significant role in the saving the day. And yes. I thought Talia's role was just very whiny, very not helpful until the very end when she realizes, you know, oh, the buttons and we got to go back to the house. But even then, she didn't really do much with catching them. You know, like they had to save her from him. So I think I was just like a little underwhelmed with her participation in it all compared to some other Sandra Brown books. Talia did nothing for me.
No, I completely agree. And we did talk about this at book club. I didn't mind her character, but that's because I didn't view her as the main character, the second main character. I didn't view her as anything except for a background character.
Oh, and like that's just the love interest.
Yeah, not the norm for Sandra Brown. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, okay, it's refreshing. But I didn't take really any stock in her. But when you brought up the fact that her main characters, like her female characters are normally so like really strong and a lot stronger, I then realized like, yeah, she didn't really have that much character development. She, I mean, she really didn't do anything you'd think. I mean, I wouldn't know. I've obviously never been in this position that she was in. But having two friends and like knowing something's up, you'd think like that would have been the turning point of her knowing something was up and maybe doing like her own sleuthing. Like that would have made her character a little stronger. I think instead she just kind of was like, well, something's weird about my husband, but I'm just going to still play the housewife.
You know what? And maybe, I hate to say this, maybe I didn't respect her because she was married to Jasper. Like, she kept being like, yeah, I know my husband's pathetic. Yeah, I know we don't have anything physical going on. Yeah, I know he doesn't let me, like, go near his things. Yeah, I know. Like, she just...
It's weird. Kind of like, I feel like I can't be myself in my own home. I find myself, like, being a shell of myself. But it's fine.
Yeah, like, I think that for me was a little, like...
How did he...
love that.
Well, and for being such a strong character... Now, here's the thing. Like, we're not going to get into, like... Because he didn't do anything to her, no like domestic violence or any of that. But to have those red flags when you're that new into a relationship, just go get out. Now I understand like with some situations people are like, well, you're blinded. But and I understand that. But she wasn't blinded. That's my point. Yep. Like I understand the situations where you're like, this isn't the person I loved, and we just need to get back to the person I loved. But I don't think she ever really loved him. So if you never were there, then why was it so hard for you to accept that what Drex was saying? I mean, like, I understand you don't know Drex, but you do know.
At that point, by her decisions, and then someone's like.
Yeah. I just mean, I think she would have been a stronger character.
Yeah.
Had Sandra written her a little bit more of the, like, not the damsel in distress, but more of the heroine.
Yeah, so it was just a different, but I like where you said, like, maybe I just need to think of her as, like, a third-layer character. I mean, I think Giff and Mike, his sidekick buddies, were stronger characters than Talia, with what I knew about them, like, personality-wise of what got them going, what their attitudes were like. I felt like they were way more stronger characters than Talia.
And I think that was done on purpose just with the point of this book. Was, you know, here's this not FBI agent pretending to be an FBI agent, having two real FBI agents helping.
They used to be at one point in time because I think they got fired and they quit to go be with him. Like they were like IT support. I think they did work for the Bureau.
They still did work.
No,
they still worked for FBI.
No, they were gone. I'm 99% sure. But either way, I really liked them as characters because that's another thing with a Sandy book. There's typically always this outer shell of the lead has one or two best friends that help them save the day. And they kind of always have like fun, funky, spunky personalities where they're sassy or there's just something unique about them that you remember where they're like a curmudgeon or they're just the life of the party. Just I feel like she does make a point to make those like sidekicks memorable, unique characters.
Yeah, and I really liked them. Mm-hmm. I really liked Drex. Talia was just, yeah, I mean, I honestly didn't even take stock in her. Mm-hmm. I was like, she was just the one that Drex, you know, almost butchered the entire, his entire fabricated investigation on his attraction for her. And I also didn't necessarily, well, okay, I understood. It played a role. It did. But part of me, I was like, okay, you keep talking about her, but not like to her. So that's why I was like, we still don't know anything about her really. And that's kind of why I was like, I'm kind of putting her in the category of like, yes, our main character talks about her, but she's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not in there.
Do you believe the way Weston Graham managed to evade law enforcement and commit these crimes is believable? Why or why not?
Okay, yeah, we did talk about this. And I think we had a little bit of mixed reviews. Or everyone was on the same page and I was different. I can't remember. But I thought it was... Okay. I did and I did not. Oh, gosh. Okay. I guess this is not as easy as a question to answer.
Do you want me to start?
Well, I think my first thing is that I think that people evade law enforcement all the time. But I think my question was, what year was this book based in? And I think we established
2018, I believe.
Yeah. And so iPhones have been around for years. You know, they've been around since then. I think going off grid and completely changing your personality and changing your style to the point where no one can remember you or recognize you is not something easy to do. Do I think that it's possible? Absolutely. Do I think it's like... I think people do it all the time, every day. I mean, I hate to say it, but like crimes happen, murders happen, people get away and they evade law enforcement and they keep going. So I do think that it was believable. Do I think just the average Joe can do it? No. I think Weston Graham was a true like sociopath, truly did not care about anyone. Knew how to pretend, knew what he was supposed to do. And in doing so, he was able to focus all of his time on his next plot. What's his plan? Like, what's his like next action going to be? And we got that in the few chapters that we got from his point of view, which I did like that a lot. It was just briefly, but I did like having those chapters from his point of view to kind of see like, well, the first time we did it, I was like, he is real. Drex is right. But the second time I was like, oh, this is cool. I should pay attention to like what he's saying and not just the fact that he is real and Drex is right. So yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I think it's believable because even think about it, the FBI Most Wanted poster, what is it? It's a picture of them. So that is what your search engine is. So when he is like literally going from, you know, a ponytail to a shaved head, and was a beard and now is clean shaven, throws on, you know, a Hawaiian shirt with Chaco sandals and puts a Southern draw on, that is a very different search engine for what you're looking for compared to Jasper Ford, who was all like perfectly tailored suits, ponytail hair, goatee, like, you know, it's a very different search engine. So when these people are describing who they saw, who was dating, who this rich older woman was dating, and they're describing Jasper Ford, the cops are not looking for this new persona.
Right.
And even in the book, there was a scene where a woman's killed and Giff is attacked, and they're looking at the CCTV, and they're like, we can't find him, we can't find him. And Drex looks at it because they're looking for a he. They're looking for a man. What was Weston Graham dressed as? A woman. Right. So that wasn't their search engine. So it's like, yes, I absolutely believe that, you know, that's how you evade getting caught, because if they're looking for the wrong thing, they're not going to find it.
I think the reason that I find it definitely believable, but also not necessarily probable is, but apparently this is just my sheltered life probably, and I haven't scoured this part of the internet before, but like to get a completely new social security number or like a new name, like, I mean, yes, he was having money, so clearly he wasn't like having to go and find jobs, but you still have to have this name. You still have to have an ID. You still have to have all these things. And like, yes, I understand like fake IDs are so easy to find.
I think that's what he was doing because he wasn't flying. He wasn't.
But nowadays they have to be scanned. I mean, so many places scan them.
There's so many things you don't need an ID for. If you're not traveling, I mean, he's doing yachts. You don't need an ID for that.
I guess. Okay. I mean, I do still think it's believable. I just thought, I feel like it's not easy. But then again, all of his different personas, like, he's not working. He's finding these rich women and marrying them. And like,
and if you pay cash for everything, you're borrowing other people's things all the time. So, yeah, that part I thought was very believable. And we kind of talked a little bit about, like, there's financial crime. And with these books that we read, we don't need them to be technical. We don't need them to be accurate. We don't need them to be detailed. That's not why we're reading it. If you're saying that he was able to drain these bank accounts and not get caught, I'm believing you. I don't need my author to go into super fine detail to convince me that, you know, they haven't caught him that way. Just the intense amount of detail isn't needed. And I think we agreed about that in book club that we were like, yeah, it's okay if they just like touch on it and then we keep going with the story.
Well, and I think it was definitely believable that he was retired. So I think it was definitely believable that for Talia's friend who he killed, he was her, quote, financial advisor. So he was telling her, like, oh, what, like, where she should kind of put her money into and and try to, like, invest. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, he explains even in his chapter, like, oh, all I had to do was just say a bunch of legal jargon and get her confused, and then she would just give me the money and tell me to invest it. Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot, like, this one's up, but this one's down 5,000, and he's, like, pocketing it. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was just enough information to kind of fill in the holes of how he probably did the other ones. Mm-hmm. Some way was like, oh, give me the money and I'll do X, Y, Z with it. And I've been listening, and I think I mentioned this at book club, I've been listening to a true crime podcast, and they were talking about how these serial con men handle their business. So they're conning people out of money, but they're like, oh, give me, like, they're talking to them on dating apps is how they start. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, send me $1,000. I'm like, I'll pay you right back, like a promise. And I have to take my car in or something. And so these women will pay these men $1,000. Well, then the con man immediately pays them back. Mm-hmm. And so now they've built this trust. So then all of a sudden they're like, oh, send me 5,000. And then they're like, oh, here's 4,000. I'll get you the other like 1,000. So they're building that trust. And in turn, they're like, sending less and less money back and conning more and asking, like raising the amounts that they're asking for. Cause these women are like, oh, well that one time he paid me the $1,000 like right away. So I'll get my $12,000 back and you're never going to see that money again. And so they do that. And so with him, Weston Graham, when he was Jasper, that's exactly what he was doing. Like, oh, like all like Roth IRA and 5% up and all this stuff. She's probably like, oh no, just do it for me. And he's like, oh, here's 5,000 back, but really pocketed 10,000. So to me, that seemed completely believable as someone who does not also understand that financial jargon. And I also have a financial advisor who takes through a business.
Takes all your money each month. Who's
credited through a business.
And you assume they're going to give you that money back.
I get the bills at least, so I know where my money's going.
I can see it right there on the paper.
Okay, so we talked about Weston Graham and whether that was believable. Mm-hmm. So now kind of how Drex kind of put this together. Mm. So if there were no known connections between the murders until the last few, how did Drex believe the serial killer was responsible for them all? And like, how did he tie them together? Was he assuming?
I thought this one was pretty clear where, you know, he's got his cronies. He's got Mike and Giff, and Mike's the computer whiz. And there's a saying, correlation does not equal causation, but sometimes it does. And what they were finding is if there would be like a really rich widow that, you know, mysteriously died, they would get onto the dating, their version of the dating apps in the book, and they would like look to see what profiles had been active, and they found a pattern of like, okay, there's this guy, he uses the same prompts, he answers the same questions, he's looking for the same thing. And every time a woman dies, that profile had popped up, you know, 3 months prior. So then that's what they honed in on. And then they started combing the dating websites looking for this profile. And when they would find it, they were like, okay, pretty sure he's going to strike in this town now because his dating profile showed up. So that was the connection. So I think it took them a long time to figure out what they were looking for. And then once they found it, they went back and looked at patterns for people that had gone missing. And every time there was a missing person and this profile showed up, they attributed that murder to him. So I think it was like a theory that took years to develop.
Okay, because I knew how they found Jasper. I knew that's how they found Jasper. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't understand, so Drex was a kid when his mom was murdered by Weston Graham. Mm-hmm. And, well, when she ran off with Weston Graham and Weston Graham murdered her. Mm-hmm. So I knew there was that, and then I knew they found Jasper. But I guess, like, my point was the in-between, like, when he went to school, he, like, got his criminology background, did all this computer stuff. Like, how did they attribute, like, how did it start back up? Like, hey, we should start looking again into these cases. But I guess we just don't know.
But Drex was assuming. Drex was a man on a mission. He was a vigilante. This was, I think, his one driving purpose. And now I think back, you know, that I think he alludes to this, that that's kind of prevented him from having a relationship. He's been so single-minded on this that I almost think that, like, maybe Talia was irrelevant because that was his gift at the end. He finally gets to release this, you know, burden, this ghost that's been chasing him his whole life, and now his whole life is ahead of him with Talia and this baby. And, you know, I think she was more like a gift to him.
I like that. And I can totally see that being a thing. I think my thing is, like, I totally get Drex being so, like, honed in. I guess my thing is, like, his mom was so different. She was married and literally, like, left her entire family to go be with this guy. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't, I mean, yeah, obviously they met, he sought her out, whatever, but it wasn't the same as, like, then changing to these, like, wealthy women and seeking them out and doing all these things. And so for there, I just wondered how, and it's, I don't think we even got the answer, and I think it's just something we can think about, but how did he and his friends be like, your mom did this, but now there's this string of all these wealthy women going missing on
dating apps. I think his mom was wealthy. I think he mentioned that her bank accounts went missing.
Yeah, after. But she wasn't wealthy like his people in the end. She had some money. But
he
evolved.
He got suaver, and, you know, his targets got bigger because that's the whole thing. These serial killers, from what the book says, you know, need more of a challenge. Right. They get bored. Right. They need to evolve. So that's what I thought. I thought he had, you know, decades to build himself up to the, you know, these prize widow millionaires.
I think my problem was it took me, like, because I'm reading this all in one book, I'm not properly seeing the timeline and actually, like, seeing the age progression of like how long it had been since his mom.
Decades.
Yeah.
He's been going after
and
this
so
guy.
I think that's my problem. Well, not. It wasn't until his dad passed away when he was in college that he actually promised his dad that he would
find him. Okay, so a decade. Yeah. On the short end.
And 10 years is a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, a decade is not short by any means. But that's why, like, he did put it aside. He put it in the back of his mind. He went to school. He did all these things. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, you know what, I made a blood oath to my dad, and now this is going to be my entire life.
Mm-hmm. Nothing else. I forgot about the blood oath. Okay, thanks for reminding me of that. Okay, my favorite question that we do every book club, who would you cast to play this character?
My least favorite question we do in every book club.
Oh, I love it, because it helps me, like, know what people's imaginations are, like, what they're thinking. And mine, okay, Drex, I shouldn't objectify fictional characters, but Drex just is sexy. He is an all-American guy. I feel like he played baseball in college. He's just...
I could see him in some cowboy boots. Like,
yes. Just, yeah. He just seems all-American, slightly rugged, sexy. And I was immediately thinking Josh Duhamel was the vibe I got for Drex.
Okay. Oh, we talked about that.
Classic, yes. Handsome... Good yeah. Oh, build. Yeah. Like, Lauren's looking him up now. I pictured for Drex.
Oh, he was in Safe Haven. Yes. I'm terrible at knowing actors. So, like, when you tell me and then I see them, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly who I'd be visioning. I mean, he's 52, so maybe a few years younger, but.
Josh Duhamel in his prime. Like, you know. Oh,
yeah.
What I mean.
No, 100%. Mm-hmm. I that's loved him I in Safe Haven. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. Like I said, I could see him in a cowboy hat, cowboy boots, jeans.
Pull up. Natalie said she pictured Andrew Huberman.
Yeah, I looked him up.
He's a podcast host. A little more techie, nerdish looking, I think, with him. But still looks, you know, just toxic masculinity.
He looks more like I would picture him as GIF.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, I kind of like that.
I, with the glasses, he's GIF to me.
Okay, yeah. I dig that. Even know if our group picked someone for Talia because she was so unrememberable.
No, we did. We picked, did we? Okay, I picked the girl, the redhead from, was that for something else? The redhead from Stranger Things.
Oh, just because she was a redhead?
No.
Sadie Sink?
Were we talking about something else?
No, that would have made sense because Talia's a redhead in the book.
No, you want to know why? I was picturing Sadie Sink is because then we started talking about who we ourselves in book club look like personally.
Oh, and I said our doppelgangers.
Kylie looks like Sadie Sink.
My doppelganger is Leighton Meester.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what we were talking about. That's right. Okay. Kylie was Sadie Sink. I was like, no, that doesn't make any sense because she's way too young to play Talia. And
oh, gosh. If anything, I kind of was picturing more, and maybe demeanor-wise, and this is no shade because I actually love this actress, but like Anne Hathaway.
Oh, she can you might just have mentioned
be
her, yeah.
Very, like reserved.
I think her when with she talks, red hair. Yes.
Just very eloquent and, you know, she doesn't get very excited with her voice and loud, but just, you know, she could just talk like this. And that's just how I pictured Talia, just being very even toned and put together and, you know, just casual.
Like, especially when there were issues with, like, Jasper getting upset.
Yeah, like, not a very excitable personality. And I've seen Anne Hathaway can pull off that character just very refined. Refined. That's the word I'm looking for. So I think I was getting kind of like Anne Hathaway vibes of just being a refined character.
I really like that a lot. I do. I think that's a good pick. That's a good one.
But yeah, I liked Drex Easton as a character a lot. I liked him a lot. That's all.
How long has it been since you read this book before you picked it for book club?
Probably 2018. I probably read it when it came out that year, 18 or 19.
Okay, so reading it the first time and kind of knowing what happens, and reading it the second time, did you get anything or like see any clues that you missed the first time reading?
No, I always say I'm a lazy reader. I'll read something, I'll be like, that's weird. Keep reading.
Keep going. I was kind of the same way with that's Daisy odd. Darker.
Keep reading.
I did the same thing.
Yeah, read I read it and then Daisy picked it Darker, for my book I'm club. Like, this is weird. Something's going on. What am I missing?
But you're not guessing what. See, and I'm notorious for trying to figure it out, and I still did not see Drex not being an FBI agent. Like, I still did not see that coming. Mm-hmm. And I knew something was coming. I did.
But she's that but I didn't good. Know what. It's yeah. so subtle. It doesn't have to be an in your face. Like, this character's been dead the whole time and you didn't know. It's something as simple as, like, he just lied about his credentials. Oh, Hayes is his name in Mean Streak. He's also probably one of my, like, he's also, like, very rugged. But just, like, imagine Josh Duhamel with, like, a lot more muscle on him. Like a Travis Kelce. Like, just.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, throw you around. Like,
oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm picturing it. I'm picturing it. I need to apparently Google all like male actors and just be prepared every time I read a book.
I'm aware that is a toxic masculinity trait that I find attractive.
I think the thing is just every time in book club, we always ask this question and I never have an answer. And I think now for every book we read, I'm just going to have to Google characters so that I'm prepared to answer the question because I'm just so terrible at knowing actors and actresses. Like, obviously I know Anne Hathaway, who doesn't, but then again, there's so many others who are like, well, who doesn't know Josh Duhamel? And I'm like, me, me, I don't. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff, but I didn't know that was his name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we talked about how this book was really viewed. Maddie brought this up, how the book was, you could almost read it in two parts.
Yes.
Do you want to elaborate on that? Oh.
No, I'll let you.
Okay, so the first half of the book, Drax thinks that Jasper is this Weston Graham. He thinks he's the serial killer. He's creeping on their house. He's planting bugs. He's coming over and being neighborly. He's trying to find out if he's the serial killer, and he's also trying to find out if Talia is in on it, like if she's an accomplice, right, or she's his next victim. So that's like the first half of the book. And then something happens where like the gloves are off. And then we start the second half and you're like, oh, okay, Jasper is Weston Graham. And now they're trying to catch him knowing this information. So it was like the book was almost written and viewed in like, a, you know, the first half of a play and the second half of a play.
Or I think Maddie's point was like a TV show, like a season one and season two. So I was thinking if once Maddie brought that up, I was like, I can absolutely see it. So the entire first part of the book, you're right. Drax is trying to figure out, is Jasper Weston Graham, is Talia in on it, or is Talia like the next victim? Mm-hmm. And then as he gets to know her, he gets to know her friend Elaine Connor. And Elaine is the one that Jasper, you know, conned out of the money by being her financial advisor. Mm-hmm. And so then season finale, Elaine dies. And we get Jasper's point of view. Mm. Boom. End season. Cliffhanger. What does that mean? And then we come back to there now. Elena's dead. Talia now knows. Open credits. Talia is in the police station getting questioned on the whereabouts of her husband, who is quote unquote missing. Mm-hmm. Presumed dead, but also presumed guilty. Mm-hmm. Then you have Drex coming in. And so I totally could see that being like a two season, like short mm-hmm. series.
I love it. I love it. I'm sold.
I totally understood what she was saying because it really is kind of in two parts. And mm-hmm. you can totally, when reading it, visualize like roll credits, mm-hmm. have to wait next season. Boom. Mm-hmm.
And I like that we didn't spend the whole book trying to figure out, is he, isn't he?
Yeah.
I like that we kind of got to that right away because, again, we trust our author. You know, we're assuming that Jasper is going to be the serial killer, or else why are we spending so much time talking about him in the beginning? So I like that we kind of like got to it pretty quick and then trying to catch him the rest of the book.
Because we were still getting to is he not, I was thinking like plot twist. He's not, and it's like Mike or one of the guys. I was thinking everything. I was like, what is Sandy gonna do? Where's the twist? And so I did like that. Like I said already, when Jasper came into like his point of view, I was like, he's in it. He's guilty. We gotta find him.
Yeah. So that was, I liked that. We agreed, our book club agreed, we would love to see this in a two season Netflix short series, limited edition series. Limited series, is that what they call it?
I think so. I don't know.
So we would love that. And another thing too, because I asked everyone in book club, I'm like, who all here has read Sandra Brown? Because our very first book club season, you chose The Witness by Sandra Brown. And so... anyone
very good introduction to Sandra.
Yes, great. And then, so whoever was in book club that first round had read it. But besides you and I, everyone's like, no, haven't read it. But I liked her. What's another one you'd recommend? And I like recommending Sandra Brown books, or I guess I like reading them because, and it's the silliest analogy, and I hope this is a compliment to you, Sandy. I love you so much.
Please come on our podcast.
I always tell people, you know what you're getting with the Sandra Brown book. It's like a sandwich. You know there's going to be bread. You know there's going to be a vegetable. There's going to be a meat, and there's going to be a cheese. But there are a million different combinations you can make with a sandwich.
Absolutely.
So you, with her books, you know there's always going to be some man in law enforcement. There's always going to be some woman who, you know, career-driven, intelligent. They're going to have some chemistry. There's going to be someone trying to kill them. There's going to be a plot twist in the end. They're going to come together. There's going to be some sidekick that's going to help that they couldn't have gotten, you know, the day saved without them. You generally know the format. It's just those fine details are different. So in a way, it's like you said, when we read the book and you were like, oh, I feel at home. It's comforting to know the format you're going to get because, sometimes we open up books and we have no idea what's going to happen. Or we're like, oh, this is taking so long to get into. I don't know how much longer I can read. I give it 100 pages, 150. And Sandra, there's just something so comforting knowing what the general format is going to be, but those details are going to be different because there's a big difference between a BLT and a meatball sub, but they're both sandwiches.
Absolutely. You could not have said it any better. And that's exactly when reading this, I was like, wow. And I've read a few books. This was my fourth Sandra Brown. I was a member of the book club of the month club, and I got really behind in that. And so I wasn't reading anything on my bookshelf. And so I really want to get back to her. Reading this book, I was like, okay, I got to get through my next book club book so that I'm ready for September. And then I want to read another Sandra Brown book. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to get back into it. I really liked, because they're all set in different places. Mm-hmm. But like you said, the story, it's the same. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I really do. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ashley, let's get into the ratings.
Okay.
So what did you rate this book?
I rated this book a 4-star, liked a lot, and would recommend to most people, would reread. I did recommend it to people for book club, and I reread it for book club.
That is so true. I didn't. Oh my gosh, that literally, like, you did it all. Okay, I gave this a 3-star.
Okay.
Though I am a Sandra Brown fan. Mm-hmm. This was not my favorite Sandra Brown read. I did enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought of the books I've read so far of hers. Mm-hmm. It definitely was not my favorite, and I was entertained. But I wasn't really obsessed with it. If I'm going to recommend a Sandra Brown book, this isn't going to be the book I recommend. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I really struggled with this rating. I was between a 4 and a 3. I really was. Mm-hmm. And when looking at our rating scale, I was like, you know what? I think she's got some amazing books out there that I would recommend people to read.
I support that. That makes sense for you, having read other Sandra Brown books, but not as many as me. When you're like, oh, there's other ones I would recommend above this, but it's definitely still, it's a solid 3.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
This is probably one of my more enjoyable Sandra Brown, which is why I chose it and also why I would give it a 4 rating. Because there's definitely some Sandra Browns I would give a 3, which is, you know, enjoyed, not bad, not great, just average. Majority of books, I think majority of books are a 3.
Yeah.
Entertained but not obsessed, would recommend to a specific person. I think that means I liked it. I don't regret reading it.
Oh, yeah. I had a good time as I read it. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think majority of books are 3. So for me, I enjoyed this a little more than an average book, so I gave it a 4.
I totally get that. I am notoriously a tough book critic.
Yes.
I just am. It is not a secret. Y'all have heard my rating, so it's not a secret. I don't mean to be. I do think that majority of books are average, and I did think that this, for me, maybe it was just the time of reading it, and I have not read enough of her books to have a solid knowledge of all books. And so, yeah, I think a 3 is not bad one at all. A 3 is a good rating for a book. Okay, so.
But if you're listening, Sandra, it's a 5.
If you're listening, Sandra, we love you and so everything that you write.
So much.
Okay, so for being the first time I've drank NA wine, mm-hmm. I would give this a 4 stars. And this is a, mind you, everyone, this is a red wine, okay? We were reading a mystery book. This is a red wine. I, again, not a red wine drinker. And I cannot tell that this is NA. And I really liked it. So 4 stars. Please, sir, can I have some more? I would enjoy a second or third glass, and I am on my second.
Yeah. I also gave it a 4. Because, you know, just like Drex Easton, I wouldn't know this wasn't wine unless you told me. I wouldn't know Drex wasn't an FBI special agent unless he told me.
Which so he did.
That is ultimately why I chose the wine, because it's tricking us, and so did Drex. You think it's one thing, and it's actually something else.
I love that. I love that. Oh, my goodness. Okay, and that, our wonderful listeners, brings us to the end of our journey through Sandra Brown's mysterious novel, Outfox. Thank you so much, Ashley, for joining me today on Wine and Swines. It's always a pleasure to share a good book and great glass of wine with you.
If you've read Outfox, or if this episode inspired you to pick it up, let us know what you thought. You can find us on Instagram at Wine and Spines Podcast and share your thoughts.
Our next book will be The Next Mrs. Parrish by Liv Constantine, and I will be joined by another book club friend. Until next time, happy reading and happy sipping, and keep discovering those incredible stories both on the page and in the glass.
Cheers!